Lord, we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit would move amongst us. We pray that your word would be powerful, like a two-edged sword. We pray that we would be a people of the covenant, having received promises, but also keeping ours. May you work through us and in us now. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, speak. Amen. In Revelation chapter 2, without turning to it necessarily, each time John references what God is saying, he concludes, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to be a people who are always listening to God. Sometimes the church grows dull. It is incapable of being sensitive. It has let the distractions of the world, it has let its own traditions, restrict its capacity of listening. And occasionally, the Spirit breaks through. The Spirit actually begins to unsettle people. This is the 500th anniversary of the year of the Reformation, or at least we have arbitrarily chosen a time when we believe the Reformation began. There were churches always trying to reform. But on that particular occasion, it began by one man listening to God. But it started with him feeling unsettled. Martin Luther, who was a monk, would have made his way to the confessional every day, and he was rightfully trying to make his peace with God. But every time Martin left the confessional, he was as distressed moments later as he had been before his arrival. His conscience was always being troubled. He wrestled with sin. Not that his sins were any more obvious than anyone else's. Not that he was living a lifestyle that would not have been regarded as religious, because he was. But he was unsettled. He wasn't even sure why. And then as he progressed through this experience, one day he was reading scripture in Habakkuk. And then he realized, the just shall live by faith. What a startling revelation to Martin Luther. By faith? Not by works? Not by human effort? But through a gift of God? That I could have this relationship with God through something that Jesus has already done. The Spirit had been moving upon Martin Luther. And then the Spirit began to move amongst others, like John Calvin and other English reformers. They became aware of the Scriptures. When they started to read them, they realized how far the church had transgressed. It had accumulated certain traditions. It had made up other doctrines that were not found in the Bible. The Spirit was revealing the doctrines that we now so easily take for granted. The free gift of God and salvation. Justification by faith. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to atone for our sin. And time after time, the Spirit was making them aware of what He wanted the church to hear. And these men, sensitive to God, helped us begin to realize what God had accomplished for us through Christ. And it was a difficult journey for them because they faced opposition and they faced persecution and they faced difficulties. But so important was that message that you rely on today that they give their lives for it. The Spirit had spoken to them. The Spirit had inspired them. The Spirit motivated them. They were listening to God. The question is, are we listening? Back in 1906, on Azusa Street, William Seymour, an African Pentecostal preacher, started to listen to God. The church, in his opinion, though it had embraced orthodoxy and it had celebrated its evangelicalism, he felt was dry. The Spirit moved upon him. And thus, in 1906, came the birth of Pentecostalism as we would traditionally understand it, though there were variations of that even before 1906. The Spirit moved upon the church, and He said this, Spirit and truth. Combining the work of the Reformation with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit does damage to Satan. The people of God, filled with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, can do marvelous things in His kingdom if they're listening. If they're listening. Are you listening? I'm not asking you to come up with a new revelation. Far too many emerging movements have placed so much importance on extra-biblical revelation. They're moving away from Spirit and truth. And that's one of the ploys that Satan uses. He can make us move to two extremes. But one thing I believe is necessary today, even before we go into the series on the characteristics of the Spirit and what the Spirit does and who the Spirit is and what He seeks to achieve, we need to be ready for the work of the Spirit. The Spirit does not bring a new revelation, but gives light to an already existing one. And boy, does He do it so well. He gives light to an already existing one. Read Psalm 119 in that light. Spirit. Moving you to read the Scriptures? Are you hearing what the Spirit is saying? Not looking for a new revelation, but an existing one that has power. The Word of God transforms when the Spirit takes it up and applies it to a person's heart. So there are two things I want to focus just very, very briefly on this morning. What is He saying to the non-Christian? And what is He saying to the Christian? And you might think, well, those are stark differences. Well, maybe. But it's not up to me to distinguish between the wheat and the tares. There is a visible collection of people that we often refer to as the church. But the Bible said not all of Israel are Israel. And so we are very aware of this morning that there will be those that are sitting there who in their own hearts, though not distinguishable to us necessarily, are not right with God. But the Spirit knows that and you know that. But that doesn't have to be the case. And that's the beauty of God's revelation to us. 1 Samuel, if you want to turn with me for a moment. First Samuel 3. verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Wonderful. So much happening in that little passage about the Spirit and about the activity of the Spirit in this person's life who is of yet did not know the Lord. That's what the scriptures say. He did not know the Lord, but the Lord had a plan for him. The Lord wanted to speak to him. The Lord wanted to call him. And in the restlessness of that night, he heard a voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And he didn't totally recognize it. He didn't know who it was. He thought it was Eli. And initially, when the Spirit begins to move upon you, and if you're not a Christian, you don't know whose voice it is. You don't know why you're thinking like you're thinking. You perhaps think that it's because you have a Christian friend at work and he says a few things that disturbs you on occasions. And it elicits from you certain responses, maybe a little bit of anger at times. Maybe you feel that he's picking on you in a certain way. You understand what he's saying, but you don't like what he's saying. Sometimes you become objectionable. Other times you just simply try to ignore him or her. And you don't realize, maybe even at that stage, that there's someone speaking behind that individual, trying to get your attention. But there's so many distractions in this world. So many voices clamoring for our attention. I have an increasing hearing difficulty. I find it very, very difficult in a crowded room to hear what people are saying. It seems that everybody is talking at once. I find it difficult to concentrate, particularly if they're far away, as to what they're saying. I don't even know if I'm nodding in the right places to disguise the fact that I haven't heard it. And we've all done that when we have those sort of hearing problems. But when a person is sitting beside me, and the room is empty, and it's just them and myself, I don't struggle at all. I can hear them. Some non-Christians are sitting in a crowded room. You're hearing a lot of voices. You're not sure which voices to listen to. You can't distinguish between them. But God doesn't want you to be in a crowded room today. That's why he's brought you here. He wants you to hear his voice and not to mistake it. The Spirit is moving. And your discomfort is related to the Spirit's voice. He will make you conscious of sin and judgment and the need for righteousness. He will trouble you about those things that you do on a weekly basis that you know are wrong. And it doesn't matter how often you try to convince yourself that everybody else does them. The fact that you're doing them is what is upsetting you. And it's upsetting the Spirit. And the Spirit has prompted you to put these things away and not let them become a barrier to your relationship with him. The Spirit is moving and your discomfort correlates to that. Even right now, some of you perhaps wish you were elsewhere Because when the Spirit moves, He penetrates deeper than the human voice. But what do? Samuel was left with this dilemma. What do I do, Eli? Eli said, go back, lie down in your bed. And if he speaks to you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What a transformation. For your servant is listening. That's your only response to the Spirit's voice. We don't want people to make decisions about becoming Christians. We want them to be disciples. We want them to be servants. We don't want this period of just consumerism. Oh Lord, just deliver me from hell. That's all I'm worried about. We should be worried about much more than just that. Though that prospect awaits when we disobey Him, this is about serving Him. Do not come to Him half-hearted. Do not come to Him simply because of a pang of conscience. Come to Him because He has the words of life. Come to Him because you want to serve Him and serve others. Come to Him because you know He is who He is and He deserves what He deserves. And He knows that you deserve death. And you know you deserve death. But Jesus has died to give you life. As the Spirit speaks, come. Come and give your heart to this one. Come and give your life to this one. Come and serve this one. And for the believer, are you listening too? Or have you drifted into complacency? Consumeristic Christianity? Wanting everything out of it and wanting to give nothing to it? Are you living a life or are you living the lie? Are you trusting God or trusting yourself? This is a wonderful opportunity for you to be like Samuel. And come to serve Him afresh. To take on the responsibilities of your discipleship seriously as you listen to the Spirit's voice. One of the joyful experiences of being filled with the Spirit is that you cannot be filled with yourself. When you're filled with the Spirit, it displaces all flesh, all your ambitions, all your selfish desires. The sinfulness that would so easily entrap you. The separation of your private life and your public life. Where you walk with the Lord, talk with the Lord, live with the Lord, speak to the Lord, are spoken to by the Lord. When the power of God's Word becomes so fresh, so invigorating, so inspiring. With every vital breath that you possess, you want to glorify Him, you want to honor Him. You want to serve Him. You want to do life with other Christians. You want to inspire other Christians, encourage other Christians, motivate other Christians. Every place you go, you want to be a witness to Jesus. You're not trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. You have 2 feet planted on the rock of Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled life is a life full of joy and peace. And fruitfulness, Spirit-filled life opens up their life to His presence and power. And that's what the Spirit wanted for the churches. Are you listening? So that you can walk with me, live with me, listen to me. So I can achieve so much through your presence. I can change homes. I can change villages. I can change towns. I can change nations. When I pour out my Spirit, things happen. The Reformation happened because he poured out his Spirit upon individuals who were listening to God and said, listen, we will do this even if we lose our life as a result of it, so that future generations can hear the Word of God, can read the Word of God, can interpret it for themselves. And the birth of the Pentecostal movement was saying, listen, if we want to have the Word of God, we need to have the power of the Spirit to make that Word real. Not something that we simply stick on a shelf and forget about, but is absorbed into our lives. We're on a journey. The Spirit will reveal to you as time passes what you need to do in your Christian life. How you need to serve Him. Stepping up to the plate. Doing the things that God wants you to do. Serving God and serving each other. The Spirit will move. There's people praying for you right now. There's people who have been praying throughout this whole service elsewhere in the building. They've been praying that non-Christians get it right. That they listen to the Spirit and His prompting. That now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not the enemy's greatest lie. He can attempt to deprive you of life because he can't give it. But the Spirit gives life. You need to receive it. And put away Satan's smelly voice, the stench of death in his words, because he can never know the life that God has reserved for you. What can he give you that Jesus can? What can you give yourself that Jesus can't? What can society give you that Jesus can't? What can your career give you? Your bank account? Your friends that Jesus can't? As the Spirit prompts you, make your response very quietly. And if the Spirit is prompting you as a believer to put things right today and open up your life to a journey with Him, begin that journey. Don't put it off till next week, next month, next year. Is the Spirit speaking to you? If He is, put it right. Join that group that you know you need to join, that you need to be accountable to. Open that Bible that you know you need to read. Begin that journey of reconciliation with the one that you've become estranged to. Put to death the sins that so easily entangle you. Put back at work that thing that you've stolen, that you know is not right for you to have in your home. Stop reading the horoscope as if it's a piece of trivial information. The future is God's and His alone to tell. Be a disciple filled with the Spirit. Let us pray.